Occupy Wall Street marches to Wall Street.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Hundreds of protesters in the Occupy Wall Street movement are gathered right now in front of the New York Stock Exchange with a goal of at least trying to disrupt the inner workings of what's going on inside. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has a firsthand view and is on the scene right now. Hey, Stacey.
Hi, Steve.
What's going on over there right now?
Well, it's pretty chaotic. There are marchers and protesters everywhere waving signs. There are hundreds and hundreds of people. It's hard to tell because Lower Manhattan is really dense, so everyone's spread out through the streets. Police barricades are everywhere. There are police in riot gear. There's a lot of noise, as you can hear.
I can definitely hear it, and I know protesters today are calling for a new beginning, Stacey, to the Occupy movement after being thrown out of Zuccotti Park earlier this week. What's at stake?
Today is the two-month anniversary of the Occupy Wall Street movement, and yes, they have been kicked out of Zuccotti Park for all intents and purposes. So I think, you know, what's at stake for the movement right now, people feel like, is momentum. They're either going to lose momentum today or gain it because of the closure of Zuccotti Park. I think a lot of people feel like today the goal is to stop the ringing of the bell at the stock exchange and ring the people's bell instead. So it's quite a symbolic day today for that reason as well.
All right, Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith in Lower Manhattan. Stacey, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, over at the NASDAQ exchange, in a little more than half an hour, the co-founder of Angie's List will ring that bell to open trading there. The consumer review website, which, by the way, lost $40 million last year, is about to start selling stock as Angie's List goes public today. From Silicon Valley, Marketplace's Steve Henn looks into that business model.
Angie's List has been around the block. It's older than Google. It began before the first internet bubble inflated, way back in 1995. It's even shown up on game shows.
This is Jeopardy!
There's Craigslist and Her List, named for Ms. Hicks, who was frustrated when trying to find a good contractor. Tom,
what is Angie's List?
Yes.
At first blush, its business model seems kind of brilliant. Angie's List bundles up and sells consumer reviews. It doesn't pay the reviewers a dime, but today more than a million people subscribe to Angie's List for $30 to $60 a year. The company makes even more money by allowing well-reviewed businesses to advertise. So how is it that Angie's List is still in a hole?
They're spending a lot in marketing.
Nick Einhorn is with Renaissance Capital. He says the company spends around $80 on marketing to sign up a single new subscriber. Einhorn says the question for investors is whether all that spending will ever pay off. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. European shares are down right now an average of 1%. Fewer Americans sought new unemployment benefits last week, according to the Labor Department. First-time claims dropped to a seven-month low. Also from the government today, groundbreaking on new homes fell slightly, 0.3% last month in October. Stocks here at home yesterday, the Dow lost 190 points to close at 11,905.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Thomson Reuters and their expedition to break the Oberlin speed record to the South Pole. You can follow them in real time at ExpeditionToTheSouthPole.com.
In war-torn Somalia, new reports are that 9,000 refugees move into neighboring Kenya a month. And in those refugee camps, there's a new economy emerging where Somalis get food, medicine, and money from relatives through their cell phones. From the Dadaab refugee camp in Kenya, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Just past the kids, the goats, and the camels at this refugee camp, there's a shack that says Safaricom, cell phone store. A refugee steps to the counter, fiddles with a cheap Nokia, walks out with $16.
This man withdrew 1,500 shillings.
The store manager explains, this refugee just got money from a relative via cell phone, and just now he cashed out. All you need is a text message and a PIN number. Out of every 10 people here, 5 live on a dollar a day. 3 have electricity. 7 do mobile money.
The potential for mobile phones is absolutely fantastic.
That's John Hadanat at the International Food Policy Research Institute.
You can transfer money almost instantaneously, which cuts out a lot of the transactions costs. It's literally mobile money. They can take it and redeem it in lots of places.
Kenya's system is called M-Pesa, which is so common, it's a verb. As in, did you just M-Pesa while driving? Yes, my cabbie Peter just texted in a church tithe.
I'm almost like 500 kilometers from my home church, and the fundraiser is going to start at 11. I had to send a donation.
And in a minute, he gets a text.
We just confirmed that I've sent...
I'll tell you what, you drive.
Turns out you can M-Pesa at the grocery store, pay utility bills, etc. So I join in.
How much?
1,200.
In Nairobi, I shop for a soccer jersey for my kid. And then out comes the phone.
Can I pay you M-Pesa?
Yeah, it's okay. No problem.
Okay. Now what? Enter the amount.
I text the seller $12 for the jersey, plus another 26 cents for the transaction. 20 seconds later, text message.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a text message.
Confirmed. Oh, cool. So you're Mr.
He gets his money, I get my shirt. It's that easy for farmers, herders, refugees all across Kenya. At the intersection of IT and development, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, Neiman Marcus has been dazzling wishlisters for more than 100 years with its Christmas catalog, but this year you're going to have to pay to see that book of dreams. The luxury retailer is charging $15 to get a copy of it. Refundable, of course, though, if you buy something from inside the book, like, say, a speedboat handcrafted right here in the U.S., complete with gold accoutrements that goes for $250,000. But you better hurry. There are only 10 of those speedboats available. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Here's an economic indicator. Skyscrapers as symbols of financial health.
The biggest skyscrapers originally were built by corporations to show how wealthy and how powerful they were. But certainly in terms of China, there is that sense that we are going to build the tallest building because they want to show they can.
I'm Kai Rizdal, high and mighty, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.